Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Carolyn's back. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and for the next hour, we will be in the backyard for a wonderful labrish. I want to thank all my listeners online, as well as those listening on their computers. It is Wednesday evening, and it is May 19th. This has been a beautiful day here in my city, and I hope you had a marvelous day today, and you are ready to just have a virtual evening in Jamaica. We're going to sit in our easy chairs under our favorite fruit tree or on our favorite veranda or terrace, or wherever, and we're just going to relax because we're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. Now, for the people who are keeping up to date with the news, you perhaps may be a little challenged with all of the news that's coming out there that's not all that good. But we're not even going to remember any of that today because our purpose here is to live on our beautiful memories and see how we can allow those memories to empower us about who we are and to help us to be strong in celebrating our culture. So I hope that our visitors that come by later will find this evening that they spend with us empowering and perhaps learning something new about Jamaica that they can be proud of. Because the more good we feel about ourselves, is the happier we become. And we can, when we're happy, we can do a lot of great, cool things. So I am going to start off this evening by, if you are on my list, you perhaps know from the promotion that we are celebrating classical musicians. And boy, do we have a ton of them to recognize and celebrate. Some of them are not here with us anymore, but they have made their mark all over the world. And I am sure a lot of Jamaicans or people who just love Jamaica or have visited Jamaica might never heard of them. Everybody knows our current music or music that have been made popular by the now, today's artists. And you say artists and everyone will think of the king, who is Bob Marley, and we love his music. However, part of what we're doing now is enlightening the world to the fact that long before Bob, Jamaicans were making music and being recognized all over the world for different types of music. So tonight, we continue to celebrate the classics. And with that said, we have a few we're going to be talking about tonight. But I am going to start off with a person that's not here anymore, and I never heard of, and perhaps a lot of my listeners have never heard of him, but he was brought to us, to our attention, by our very favorite historian, Dr. Joy Lumsden, who resides in Jamaica. I hope one of these days she'll join us on the show, or if she's listening, she'll know how much we appreciate her work. So tonight, the first person I want to recognize, and I'm quoting from her website. The initial information was from Ellis Island Records. You remember when everybody used to have to pass through Ellis Island? I don't remember that because it didn't happen in my time. But apparently there's access to the flow that came through Ellis Island. So it said here that the name of this person tonight we're going to talk about first is Harold Cartier, C-A-R-T-I-E-R. His occupation was listed as musician. His ethnicity was Jamaican, West Indian, African, added in pencil, African B. Clay, which apparently meant black, added in pencil. His residence at the time that he passed through Ellis Island was Toronto, Canada. His date of birth was February 22nd, 1912, and he sailed from Kingston on February 17th. And now, it didn't say that he sailed in 1912, just his date of birth was 1912. No, I'm sorry. He passed through, he was recorded as being the age of 25 years old, which means he was born in 1887. Gender male, he was single, and the name of his ship was Metapan, M-E-T-A-P-A-N. Now, you can just imagine that trip, but he was already living in Canada at that time, at the time this documentation was made. And I don't hear of a date that the document, it was recorded, but that was from her notes. Now, he was being billed as a noted pianist. And there is an ad in the Gleaner dated January 8th in 1912 that was advertising Mr. Cartier's arrival in Jamaica. Now, remember, apparently he was sailing from Canada to Jamaica for some reason, and that's why that Ellis Island Records was quoted. But this is what the Gleaner said about him. Mr. H. St. Nicholas Cartier, and his picture, of course, is on her website if anyone wants to see what he looks like. The above is a picture of Mr. St. Nicholas Cartier, the distinguished pianist who is now on a visit to Jamaica, his native land, and will give his first recital in the Collegiate Hall on Tuesday, commencing at 3:15 o'clock. That's how they used to write in those days. Not p.m. or a.m. like we do now, but o'clock. By popular request, Mr. Cartier has reduced his price as announced in this paper recently to four shillings, I suppose, for reserve seats and 2 shillings for back seats. The box plan is now open at Louis Winkler's and Son on 18 King Street. Mr. Cartier expects to appear in Port Antonio, Montego Bay, and Mandeville in the near future. These dates will be announced later. Now, that was an announcement spent on January 8th. So he was being billed as a noted pianist. Now, on January 11th, here's another announcement. And remember now, Dr. Lumsdale is doing her research and finding these people just by finding these documents and piecing them together. The Ellis Island thing is one search, and the Gleena things is another search. Thank God the Gleena documentation is not destroyed and is still available. I just think I get so fascinated by how she puts the pieces together that it's really amazing. Now, here's January 11th, page 6. Mr. St. Nicholas Cartier, the talented pianist, made his initial bow to the public of Jamaica on Tuesday night when, to a small but appreciative gathering at the Collegiate Hall, he gave an exhibition in the art of piano playing that could not be surpassed but by few men in the profession. It was quite apparent from the scanty audience that the public were unaware of the talent of this pianist and his ability. The select few who were in attendance, however, were treated to a rich musical treat and were unanimous in their expression of admiration at the brilliant exhibition by the master. The following is a copy of the program which was executed, each number of which was splendidly rendered and received with hearty applause. And then it had, on her website, she has the details of the different classical pieces that he played on the piano. And there were, concertos and different pieces written by the masters. But I want to I am always intrigued by what I call wordsmiths, who put words together so eloquently that when you read them, you can almost feel what they're saying. So this is this Gleena reporter, I suppose. And as a sidebar, I want to remind our listeners that we had spoken through Dr. Lumsden's research about this Collegiate College, which was the first one in Kingston, where some of the men whose names we knew from their generational names currently, or when we were growing up in Jamaica, we could relate to their perhaps grandfathers going to that school, which there was no other documentation except from hers about this particular school. So I'm going back to the article. In any numbers on the program, and there were several, I couldn't pronounce some of the names of some of the pieces that he was playing, of course, but this is what the writer was writing about it. In any numbers on the program might be selected, if any numbers on the program might be selected as being specially deserving of mention, these would be numbers 1 and 2 in part 2. The composition by Litz, L-I-T-Z-T, was played with such expression and brilliance of execution that an encore was requested and given. While the selection entitled St. Monica at the Bird Carnival by the Brook brought forth the heartiest applaud it justly deserved. The manager, Mr. Chester, had announced his intention of giving a second recital which by popular request has been fixed for the 18th. You notice they don't say is on the 18th. Fixed for the 18th instant and at the Collegiate Hall, the prices being the same as on Tuesday night. The piano recital given by Mr. St. Clair, the greatest Jamaican artist, Thursday night last, might well be termed a musical triumph from an artistic point of view, but the attendance was very poor. Judging from the high standard of the program, one could arrive at but one conclusion, that the lovers of music of this community could not have had the slightest conception of the high degree of magnificence of the sublime treat that was in store for them. Otherwise, they would not have been lacking in their attendance. I just love how they put those words together. The great artist made his first bow for the evening, which was received by the audience with loud applause, precisely at 8:15 o'clock. And from the very start, he fairly enchanted the audience, who did not fail to show their appreciation of his wonderful talent. By repeated encores, Mr. Cartier displayed a complete mastery of his profession, overcoming the technique of the difficult items of the program with apparent ease. His rendition of Monsieur Auditorium, whatever, by Liszt created a furore and was deservedly encored. By the culminating point of the evening's success, was reached when Mr. Cartier struck St. Francis of Paola, Walking on the Waves, a legend by Liszt. The marvelous pianist gave a wonderful representation of the awesome, listen to this description, music lovers and word lovers, of the awesome moaning of the angry billows, with the occasional boom of a mighty breaker on the bass tones, while on the treble tones, the synthetic rise and fall of each wave was vividly brought before the mind's eye. This selection evoked many encores. Mr. Cartier excelled himself in his rendition, and he is certainly a master at the task of transporting you with the tunes. Oh, he just goes on and on, but I just wanted to share some of not only how he was described, but how people who have an appreciation for music can connect with the notes when they're played with such eloquence and grandeur. It actually transports them with the feeling to the scene. And I love how the reporter, the person who was reporting on this, who was actually at the performance, just goes on to describe what the rendition of the different pieces meant to him. So I just thought that I would share some of that with the people who may come by later on, and also all our listeners on the board. So if you never heard of Mr. H. St. Nicholas Cartier, you now know about him. And what was significant to me is the fact that he came to Jamaica for this particular recital. Remember, he was born in 1887. It doesn't have a lot of information about where he was trained. It said here that in 1912, when he was traveling to Jamaica for this recital, he was living in Canada, in Toronto, Canada at the time, and sailed on this special ship. But he was, and if you see his picture, he looks Jamaican, all right. And I encourage you to go to Dr. Lumsden's website and perhaps look at it. And I am hoping that very soon I'll be able to have, you know, a link on Backyard Labrish, which incidentally I'll share with the audience again. We do have a website, www.backyardlabrish.com, and you can even connect there to Backyard Labrish because there's a link there that will you can click on and just listen to the show. But I really, really was really intrigued with discovering about this artist because he came to Jamaica the year my mother was born in Westmoreland. And I read all the places that he was supposed to go and do his recital. So the fact is that there were really, as they said, not enough people there that they think should have been because the Collegiate Hall was in Kingston. And I suppose either that it was not very well advertised or something, but there's no documentation that as to what happened as he went on to the other recitals around the island. However, I did see a piece here that I thought was interesting. I would share it with you about him. And Dr. Lumsden then is always open to the fact that other people might have other information or know where she can get additional information about this person, and she would love to hear from them. If you go to her website, you know, you can communicate with her. But judging that at that time he was single, who knows, he might have gone back to Canada in 1912, you know, he was 25, so he could have some family, relatives, someplace in the world that might be still alive and well and can shed some more light on this man's life because we really have very little. But here's another article from the Gleaner that referred to something that he did. He gave a talk at the Music Teachers Guild. And it said, the Guild of Music Teachers held a special meeting in the Cowan Music Rooms on Monday evening, February 6th, to hear the address, which was delivered at special request by Dr. St. Nicholas Cartier. And apparently he has a D-E-R before his name here. The talented pianist now in our midst. Mr. Clark introduced Mr. Cartier to those present. The doctor then delivered a very inspiring address on interest, enthusiasm, and unity. What membership means and the responsibility of the teacher, and then gave an able comparison of methods. A hearty vote of thanks was tendered the doctor for his helpful words. So apparently, in 1912, there was something called the Guild of Music Teachers, and he was then addressing them. And I don't know if anyone tuning in or on the board right now is familiar with any music Guild of Teachers in Jamaica during their time, or if anything like that exists now. But we know that it did in 1912, and there were enough of them to form a guild and, of course, have this distinguished pianist address them. And notice the content of his speech with them. He addressed them on interest, enthusiasm, and unity, which, you know, if you think about it, don't really have a lot to do with music score and writing music and playing music. And it seems to me what I got from that he was speaking to them from the heart, because when we excel at anything, it's because we're passionate about it, it's because we're enthusiastic about it, and it's because we are in unity with someone who may be our teachers, our fellow students, or, you know, our something. But the three things he emphasized was interest, enthusiasm, and unity. So I don't know what my listeners think about that, but that spoke a lot to me about this particular person. So with that, I am going to close my talk on this very distinguished Dr. St. Nicholas Cartier, and to ask my listeners on the board if anybody would like to make a comment on this wonderful man that we have just discovered. So let me see a show of hands now. Remember, you got to touch one on your phone like you're in school, and I'll see a raised hand on my keyboard, and I'll know that you want to join the Labrish. So the line is open. Who do I see a raised hand? Before I go on to my next accomplished classical musician, you see I'm in a chirpy mood this evening, so join me in the Labrish. No raised hands. Okay. I got the message, silent partners. Ooh, I see a hand. And I am going to open up the mic and welcome this call to the rest of the world. 631-451, your mic is open. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall. I'm your host and backyard Labrish. Who do I have here?
This is Janine from Long Island.
Can you speak a little louder, Janine?
Janine from Long Island. How are you today?
I am wonderful.
Yes, I can hear that.
Yes, I am just so bubbly when I discover a new person, and I thought I can get a little feel for who they were, you know, and what they were about. And I am so into life and passion and expression that, you know, I can just feel this man.
Yes, I know. I'm sure it's for all of us too, you know, to listen to this and realize how many good, talented people were from our country. It makes a difference in, you know, in a lot of stuff.
Right, right. We have so much to celebrate and so much to be proud of, you know, as a people. We're so diverse, and you know, it's really interesting to me how we have been traveling all over the world and making a difference. It's not like we're traveling and hiding under a rock. You know, some of us do, but, I mean, we have been out there, you know, in the world, you know, waving our flags and standing strong, doing what we're doing, even when I'm sure it wasn't easy to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because the world was different, like it is now. But I am just always so proud how Jamaicans have just been shining. Been shining.
Yes, and it's good to know that we appreciate all kinds of music.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, most people, most foreigners, think that every Jamaican, I mean, only or mostly dance to reggae, listen to reggae, know reggae or calypso or whatever they call the new music. And that we perhaps are not or have not been exposed to a lot more. And that's all we used to listen to. Well, no.
Not true, because growing up as a child, my father, he was in that classical type of music. And every Sunday, we would listen to him play his records on different instrumental music. And we grew up learning to appreciate it, and it was really, really soothing music. I mean, when we want to dance, we put on dance music, but there are times when you just want to hear something calmer. Even in going to piano lesson, that's the road that they take you down. They don't let you play reggae or calypso. It's always that type of music that they would teach you to play or to sing, you know. So it's something that most of us grew up with, you know, and not only us, but around us you'd hear people playing that type of music. And for some reason, when they're playing it, it's like at a certain high volume that you can hear it. Because
right.
they appreciated
right.
it so much, you know. So there right. was time and place for everything. On a Sunday, to my father, it was more a respectful type of day that you wouldn't go playing calypso or, you know, reggae or whatever. He went to that type of music, and we appreciated it. At first, you know, you listen and you learn to like it. And then you start loving it, you know.
Right.
Even
right.
in school, you had music appreciation, which that
mm-hmm.
is the type of music. They're not telling you to do reggae and calypso. So, you know, it was really diversified in my days and your days that we had a little of everything. And we were exposed to a lot of stuff, not just one stuff, which is good.
Definitely.
Which is good.
Okay, well, I'm good. Thank you so much, Janine. We are always welcome. Thank you for your loyalty and your support.
You're welcome.
And I hope you enjoyed the time you spend with us in the backyard.
Oh, sure, I do.
Excuse
I do.
Me.
All the
now
time.
I'm going to talk about a Dr. Beckford, who is a native of Jamaica. I don't know what age group Dr. Beckford is, but there's a beautiful picture of him on Dr. Lumsden's website. I don't know when that picture was taken, but I know that, you know, he's still around. And as a matter of fact, I have been, in my research, I found out that he either lives in Atlanta or used to live in Atlanta. But there was some mention of a concert that he did in 08 where a Dawn Marie, who still lives here, and we're going to do a segment on the female sopranos that are, you know, singing all over in various operas that are Jamaicans.
Mm-hmm.
And there was she was performing here in 2008. And there was an article about him being her accomplice. You know, he was accompanying her in the song she was singing. But this is Dr. Beckford, and I'm not familiar with him. I don't know if any of my other listeners are. Richard E. Beckford is his name. And he's got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different titles behind his name. So he's quite accomplished. And I'm reading from Dr. Lumsden's documentation on him. It said, Dr. Beckford, a native of Jamaica, is a graduate of the Royal Academy of Music in London, England, where he studied on a major competitive piano scholarship from the Associated Board of the Royal School of Music. He graduated from the Royal Academy of Music with an honorary degree and a double major in piano and organ, and was the recipient of many prizes and honors. He holds graduate degrees from the University of Southern Mississippi and the Louisiana State University. While a student in London, Dr. Beckford studied organ with David Sanger, at the former chair of the organ department, and was for 4 years assistant choir master and organist to Professor Sanger. Dr. Beckford continued his education in the United States in coordination in the studio of Dr. Hendron Spillman, professor and coordinator of organ studies at the Louisiana State University of Music. So he is quite, you know, well-learned in music, apparently both in England and several American universities. Now, he is now an associate professor of music and the chair of the Department of Visual and Performing Arts at South Carolina State University. Now, he previously served at Southern University, Baton Rouge, as director of choral activities. So he is apparently walked and known all over the South. Now, any of my listeners on the board know this man or have been at any of his performances, kindly just raise your hands so you can fill me in here. Because I am saying that, you know, I've been here since 1983, and apparently this man has played here, and I never heard of him. So I'm a little, you know, sort of daunted by all of this. Now, his choral experiences include serving as conductor of the British Broadcasting Corporation's television program, and the title of that is Songs of Praise, in December 1977, and he was the interim director of the festival choir in Kingston, and director of the Bromley Boy Singers in London, England, director of the Southern University Concert Choir, and director of several church choirs of diverse denominations. He is currently organist and chairmaster of the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Baton Rouge. I suppose that is Louisiana. Very interesting. So that is all I have on him. But when I tell you he has so many degrees and honors, I am not familiar with him at all. I also read another blog where he did, he accompanied a young soprano who was making her debut at the Military Museum in Jamaica about 3 years ago. And this young lady, who I'm going to do a feature on all the young existing sopranos, is made her debut in Jamaica, I suppose, that as far as being away from England. But she was born in England of Jamaican parents. So we have a young breed, my point is, of people who are following in this classical arena that are up and coming and apparently doing very well. So we are being enlightened here in the backyard this evening, as always, I hope. And now we're going to talk about Mr. Oswald Russell. And I must say that one of my favorite fans from New York is going to talk about one of these musicians that he personally knows. And as soon as he's ready to join the Labrish, I expect him to put his hand up. Right. So I know he's on the board, and he'll just have to give me a cue. All right, here goes the hand. So I'm going to open up the mic, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret, your host in the Labrish. Who do I have?
This is Leigh in the Bronx.
Hi, Leigh in the Bronx.
Yankees.
Thank you. Home of the Yankees. We know that.
Yeah. You're going to talk about my friend, Oswald Russell?
Yes. Do you know when he was born?
Well, yes. He is a contemporary of mine, and I'm not going to give out when I was born, so.
You gave it out already, so.
Yeah.
Well, you want me to tell him, you don't have to tell him when you were born, but he was born in 1933 in Kingston.
He's the son of
the popular and respected Jim Russell, longtime registrar of births, marriages, and deaths in the city of Kingston.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He began his piano studies under the direction of Erna Helps, H-E-L-P-S. Are you familiar with that name, Leigh?
I have a relative that's a Helps, but I'm not sure that this is the relation.
And then worked at the Royal Academy in London under the direction of Eric Grant, where he won a first prize gold medal. Later, he studied in Paris and finally at the Gillard School in New York. And he even met Leonard Bernstein and other modern American composers. In 1964, he settled in Geneva, where he studied with Louis Hiltebrand, and at the same time pursued under the direction of somebody else the studies in composition, which he had begun in London with another professor called Professor Berkeley. Now, Leigh, tell us about your relationship with Mr. Oswald Russell.
Well, he went to school, as I said, and...
With school? You have to tell the world. We know, but you got to tell the rest of the world what school you're talking about.
St. George's College.
All right.
And at St. George's, we had a dramatic society, and he was prominent in that. We would put on various productions during the year, both in Spanish language and in English, plays, musical plays.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be a play without, we call them Ozzy, setting the musical selections, composing four particular plays. One year we went to school camp, and we, meaning the boys at the camp, had to put on a play written by us and scripted by us and everything by us. And Ozzy, of course, would do the musical background. And it, I'm remembering it now as it were yesterday.
Isn't that wonderful?
Came off very, so we knew who we had amongst us. And if I hate to be trite, but without seeming religious, I think it's appropriate to quote the Bible when you refer to Oswald Russell. And the same thing with other classical artists, the ones you mentioned before, that an artist, not an artist, but a prophet, so it says in the good book, is not always known in his own country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true with most of the classical artists that that you've brought to our attention. And in the case of Ozzy, Oswald Russell was an outstanding pianist. And, of course, all of these people who gain notoriety in the classical field, they have to leave the island, and so did Ozzy. They leave the island to study, gain some credentials and experience. And in most cases, as did Ozzy, they would stop playing and devote a certain segment of their time or career for composing, which he did.
Right.
And you read some of his credits.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this.
It's an honor and a privilege to know a guy like this. He used to play the organ like nobody else played the organ, and he would if fellows at school, the boys at school, would not want to go to any of the religious events, once they know that Oswald was going to play, they would go.
Mm.
And I would go over to the cathedral and sit and listen to him practice all the time. And I became enamored with the pipe organ. I still am, you know. That's a dying...
During those years, did you believe that you thought at that time he was gifted?
Oh, yes. He was, like you would say, a child prodigy. Because he was young and he could do all of these things. Listen, Ozzy, I remember we used to listen to the hit parade on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you, as we would say, catch a song. You like this. And you only have to hum it or whistle it to Oswald. And he would play the whole thing from start to finish. And put some things in there that you would not believe. So,
locked it up.
Yes. So this guy was unbelievable. And I can't say much more about him because it's all in the superlatives. He was a great maestro.
Right. And one thing I want to remark here is that, you know, with all the stories we have brought to light, even remember when during the earthquake in Kingston, there was a group performing in London at the time when Kingston was destroyed. It was a group of women and men performing.
Right.
And they were all black Jamaicans. And we're talking about 1907. Is that time the earthquake comes? The Kingston one?
Yes. Yeah.
And so my point is that they were not afraid or did not shun and they apparently they were quite successful. I think it's because they were not faking it or just trying to make it. They were professionals and did whatever they did it extremely well.
But it just goes to show you also that the culture that we as Jamaicans, and of course we're talking about the musicians, they were not left behind, are not lacking in anything. They were right up there with the rest of the world and were on the world stage in the classical arena.
Right.
So, it tells volumes about how a Jamaican was brought up.
Their self-esteem?
Is the culture. And he wasn't lacking in...
decorum?
Decorum and expertise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we all have to be proud of these people who are... examples to the rest of the world that we're not just one thing. We don't just reggae. We don't just play pop music, but we're in right up there with the rest of the classical people.
Right. Well, let me just share with our audience some of the places that he has given concerts. He has given concerts worldwide in Switzerland, France, Austria, Germany, Yugoslavia, England, Spain, Jamaica, the former USSR, the United States, Italy, and Canada. Additionally, he has directed such distinguished choreographers as Martha Graham, Agnes DeMille, George Balanchine, and is also a composer for the Jamaican National Dance Theatre Company.
Yeah, well, George Balanchine, for instance, was, he was a Russian that came to the United States, and everybody knows the story about him. He is not an ordinary fellow. He's a superlative dancer.
Right.
And choreographer. And here it is, our Oswald is mixing elbows with him.
Right.
Leonard Bernstein as well.
Right. He composed film scores. that are presented, like at the Cannes Festival and things like that. I mean, he's up there.
Sure.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he does Jamaican folk songs and a lot of modern type of music.
He can do anything.
Right.
I can do anything.
When you know someone really's got talent. I see another hand raised, so I'm going to open up the mic because I got to tell my listeners coming by, this is a Lavrish, and anybody that wants to have their voice heard can do so on Backyard Lavrish. Well, 404-421, you got Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Do I know them?
Excuse me?
Hello?
Your mic is open, 404-421.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry. I'm out here with the children. Just wanted to let you know I was listening in, and it's been pretty interesting and educational.
Well, welcome. Who do we have? You got to say your name and where you're calling from.
This is Donna Robinson in Austell, Georgia.
Okay, Donna. Welcome to the backyard. Welcome back.
Thank you. One of the things that's pretty interesting is when you're talking about music in school and particularly right now with particularly public schools and how music has been taken out of the schools and how important it is, and when people would go back and they look at the stats on how music would stimulate the brain, and they realized that even if it had to be a la carte, that they needed to bring music back into the schools in some form or fashion. And I really do see a difference in those kids that really do find a musical discipline than those that don't, or that even immerse themselves in listening to something outside of, some of this other stuff that's going on. And one of the things that I found out was a lot of the music teachers now are moving back to a lot of the classical types of music because of what they say it does in terms of stimulating the brain. But I know that's kind of off on another subject, but I just wanted to let you know I was listening and enjoying the show.
Well, that's a good point, Donna, because we always try to relate things from the past that are positive that can help to empower us now. So that is a very good point about the importance of music in the school and the importance in all schools, here and also all over the world, but especially in Jamaica. And also the fact that it has been proven that some types of music can stimulate the brain more than other types, because they've done several tests with different age groups. So it really is a shame when it's not considered, a useful subject to be kept in the system. And I hope that the powers that be or people who can make a difference will take that into consideration and do something. One of the things I always try to do, ask my listeners, is to relate the Lavrish, when we leave an evening of relaxing and Lavrishing. I hope that you've got some encouragement or some idea that you can develop or work on or bring something to the Lavrish that somebody else can develop and work on. So Donna, I appreciate your comment on that, as I do appreciate, everybody that joined the Lavrish. So thank you very much, and thank you for sharing with us.
Okay.
Now, I want to talk about another person. Leigh, did you have anything else? I mean, I am just so bubbly because when I hear about all these wonderful, positive things that the rest of the world might not know about our culture, and the rest of the world might not, even Jamaicans, I'm sure, never heard of these people.
Yeah, well, the classical music always lags behind popular music.
Right, and I think that happens everywhere.
And you could see that when they Dr. What's his name?
Atir.
St. Clair had his concert. People probably didn't even understand it. Well, we had, and people probably had music appreciation, and they are aware of classical music, and they want to hear more.
Right.
But you never was exposed to that music. You know, maybe you wouldn't ascribe to it as much as the popular charts. But I also remember last week you spoke about this Samuel Felsted. And going back to the 18th century, Jamaican was already into classical music. And he was apparently so good that he had his mentor, and the mentor at that time, you have to remember what period this was in the 1770s, sent him to England to study.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be like an experiment, because they did not appreciate that non-whites,
mm-hmm.
to put it, could grasp and even excel in this kind of music.
Right.
That came out in your thing
last
week.
Research, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks to Dr. Joy Lumsden.
But, you know, I just want to make a comment. I had a conversation with my cousin, who is much older than I am, and I love to talk to her because she can take me back to years with my grandmother that I didn't know of because I wasn't even born. She's a few. My mother is a few years older than her, so, you know, they actually grew up. And from what she was telling me, this type of music was going on from that time, because on a Sunday.
And what year are we talking about?
Well, my cousin is in her late 70s.
Uh-huh.
So we're going back early, what, 19, what?
30s.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And we are talking about when she was a child.
Right.
She would relate to me that on a Sunday also, after they all have dinner and whatever, my grandmother would also play that type of music. And, you know, people would come around and listen, because at the time a lot of people couldn't afford to have the player to play the music or whatever.
So the gramophone.
Right, whatever they used to call it in those days. And they would come by the fence listening, and there were times when my grandmother would actually let them in the yard to sit down and listen to this music. So maybe if my cousin was on, or someone in that age group, maybe they would know more about these people or hear about them. I don't know. But,
right,
I mean,
right.
This type of music been going on for a very long time.
Right. The appreciation of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Janine, for sharing that with us. Now I'd like to talk, before we're finished for the evening, about David Johns. And he was, David Johns, concert pianist, was born in St. Andrew, Jamaica on March 25th, 1951. So he's pretty young. He's the son of the late George Reginald Johns, a civil servant and economist, and his wife, the late Joyce M. Johns, who was a piano teacher. He was educated at Westbrook Preparatory School and the Priory School in Jamaica, and then at the Royal Academy of Music, London. His teachers included Van Davis, and he goes on with this many of his teachers here. He made his debut at the Wigmore Hall, London, in 1980, and the Queen Elizabeth Hall in 1981. So he's quite recent. Have you ever heard the name David Johnsley, a concert pianist, Jamaica?
No, I'm not familiar with him.
Well, neither was I.
Oh, so, he's apparently a younger fella here.
Right.
And
he has given conference or performances throughout the British Isles and in Scandinavia and Europe, as well as the United States, Canada, Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, and the Cayman Islands. He gave the third world premiere of shock, S-H-O-S-T-A-K-O-V-I-C-H. Would you pronounce that for me, please, Lay?
That's the COVID.
Suite of two pianos at the Wigmore Hall, and the first broadcast of Sir Malcolm Arnold's Santona for flute and piano with the English flutist Richard Audrey.
Now, this is heavy stuff, Sir Malcolm Arnold's sonata for flute.
That is heavy stuff.
I
want to mention that one of my listeners actually has a son who lives, I think, is in, no, I don't want to say it wrong, but is it Finland or the Netherlands? And he makes instrument. And I'm going to be featuring some of the younger musicians 1 week to tell of the wonderful. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the breed or the group of classical musicians continue, because there are some young people, quite young. You know, this one is born in 51, and he seems to be quite accomplished. And a lot of people never heard of him, David Johns, and he has given concerts all over. Now, it says Johns has recorded and performed chamber music with the English Chamber Orchestra and eminent musicians such as violinist and Richard Walfish and different names here, just a whole lot of names that I'm sure would be known in the classical world. He has also made numerous recordings for the BBC and given recitals in the BBC's Concert Hall for series and the BBC's Lunchtime Concert at St. John's, Smith Square. That's perhaps a place in London. He was the pianist in residence of Florida State University in 1990. An examiner to the Associated Board of the Royal School of Music, with extensive tours of the United Kingdom and the Far East. Now, he has been awarded the Associate Board Scholarship at the Royal Academy of Music and the Steinway Artists Jamaica Music Industry Award. It's called JAMI, J-A-M-I, in 1992. So I want to just celebrate the now classical musicians, and there might be some of our listeners who might have heard of them, and if they have heard of them, I hope they will remember their names, and the next time they listen to a piece or have a program, if they attend a concert, they will see if any of these names sort of jump out at them, because we have listed so far quite a few composers.
And here is one that just jumped out to me. I saw him on American television, didn't even realize that he was a Jamaican, Willard White. And he was knighted by the Queen back in 57, I think it was. But they used to have an opera series on great performances.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen him many times in this on this platform. You know,
wow!
He's one of the most famous basses in the world. Born in Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica.
Wow!
You know, so we're not only playing instruments; we're singing.
Right. Well, you didn't hear that sign bar. It must be the yams. It's not only good for athletes. it's a pilot group for everybody, and it brings out the best in their talent.
Eating it up. But I was also told by my sister, who is involved a lot with the Woolmers alumni, and they had their luncheon on Sunday. And unfortunately, I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't attend, which I really regret now. But she was telling me about the function, and she told me that there are two young girls. If you ever hear them sing opera, she said, you know, it's like your whole body just feels so, you know.
You can feel them.
Oh, hallelujah. You just feel them, two sisters, and I'm just praying and hoping they're going to school for it. I'm just praying and hoping that they will really achieve and go very far, because it's good to know that you still have some of the youths that are interested in other music.
Yes, they're just not making the news. You know, they're wonderful young people.
Wow.
Doing marvelous things.
Oh, yes.
I mean, all over the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're not getting the recognition
that
they really deserve. And this is why on Backyard Labrish, what I am trying to do and my platform is to find some of these nuggets of wisdom about our culture and our people.
Right.
And just bring it to the world who like to listen. You know, everybody can go and find this information on the web, you know, on Google, because
right.
That's where I get most of my information. I don't know Dr. Lumsden personally. I don't know most of the people I interview personally, but I find them online. But it's not a lot of people that, you know, have the time or the passion or want to. So I'm hoping that the Labrish will be some place that they can come and listen, pick something out that they might want to find out about. And when they do, and it inspires them or enlightens them or causes them to celebrate, that they will share it with their friends and family that might be of like minds. Because here in the backyard, our passion is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love.
Amen.
So unless my fans with their hands up would like to have some parting words, we're going to end this evening's tribute to all these wonderful classical musicians, and we have more to share. So, and I always invite the listeners that may come along later on or that are listening online now or on the board now to make suggestions. Tell us what you would like us to elaborate about. We're open. You know, this is the kind of platform where we don't promote anything commercially. What we're promoting is celebration, enlightenment, and preservation. And there's no better place to preserve your ideas, your suggestions, and your just what you want the world to know than this platform. You know, being on the air in cyberspace. So anyone that you would like to, you know, may like to join the Labrish, do invite them to come on while we're live. They can always listen. You can send a link to them, but it would be nice to have them share in the Labrish. So I ask you, I thank you for your support, and I ask you to continue to support me, but you can do a better job if you tell a friend and bring a friend along with you. So, guys, the banks are open, 631-718 and 404. Do I have any parting words?
Yes, I just want to say you can't take away rhythm from us.
Amen.
I think we are born with that.
Yes.
We love our rhythm when we go partying or, you know, doing our little get-together at home. but we must also have a very open mind to other stuff, because you can really learn a lot from it. And to me, other music at the right time is also soothing. I know for me, if I'm stressed out or having a day that is not going my way and I put on one of those music, it can bring me right down into a relaxed form. So,
amen.
It's always good to have an open mind and to enjoy everything, not just one thing.
And
thank you, Janine.
You can pass it on to your kids and your grandkids. Let them hear it. They may laugh at first, or they may not say anything, but they are listening. And if you keep letting them hear it, they'll get to like it too.
Good point.
On that happy note, good night, everybody.
Good night, Mr. Nunes from the Bronx.
All right.
Donna, you still there?
Yes. Just want to say I definitely concur with Janine that I took my daughter, my baby who's 7, my 14-year-old was auditioned and was accepted to a performing arts school, and I took my 7-year-old to the open house, and they had, you know, just a complete like 8 different segments that they did. And a part of that was, opera, and they were singing. And it was something to see her excitement on her face. I really was so surprised at just how excited she was. And when it ended, how she was clapping, and she was like, that was wonderful, wasn't it? And I was like, wow, she is really going to enjoy this. And those are things, I guess, that, you know, as a parent, there's so much, you know, that you're going, you know, that's going on with the school and homework and this. And you don't really sit down and think to yourself, you know, I've got to open up this gateway for her or my children to really have appreciation for opera or the classics. But being there, I realized just how stimulating it was for her, and I actually have one of my friends. She was on the line with us earlier, and I was telling her, I said, we're going to really enjoy exposing our kids to this whole, you know, other world, because it's a whole nother world, really. I mean, for them to be exposed to, it gives them a whole nother glimpse of the world. It really does.
Amen, amen. And I must say, Donna, thank you for that comment, and I must encourage the grandparents, because, you know, I'm a grandmother. And I remember when I took my daughter, we lived in Florida at that time. She was perhaps about 5 or 6. And I remember when I took her to the first symphony concert, because I like classical music. And you know how sometimes there's a rest in the performance, where not an intermission, but a period where the music stops before it sort of comes back up into the crescendo. Mm-hmm. And I remember she was sitting there, and as they stopped, she started to clap. Then she realized she was the only one clapping. Right? Because most of the rest of the audience was adults, and they know that the composition was not finished.
Yes.
But she was so excited, she jumped up and clapped. Then she sat down and she looked around. But the look in her eyes, I mean, my point is, she was so stimulated. You know what I mean?
Yes.
She was not clapping because other people were clapping. She initiated it. Then she realized that they were not finished. But that really gave me the same impression that you had, Donna, that you spoke about. So I encourage the grandparents, when they have an occasion, even though they may be busy with all the games and the now music and all of that, you know, don't be afraid to have some me time with them, as they're calling it now, and expose them to that kind of music. If they don't have that in their, you know, in their surrounding. So if you have been exposed to it and you enjoy it, and you can pass it on to them. So that's one of the things we are supposed to do to you know, expose our grandchildren to the good stuff. So much good stuff is happening around us. Let's become involved in helping to expose them to it. So with that said, I want to thank all the listeners on the board for being here with us this evening. I want to remind you to share the Labrish with your friends. That's how we grow, and that is a lot of encouragement for me that tried to put something interesting together for you. And I'm always open to suggestions, so don't be shy or afraid to let me know what you would like to hear, what you don't like to hear, or just making suggestions. I want you to be part of the Labrish. So I hope to see you next week, and I hope you enjoyed our time together, and you will be back here next week to be enlightened, help us celebrate, and definitely preserve the wonderful, diverse culture of Jamaica. All together now, land we love.
Amen.
Good night, make it a wonderful week. See you next week. Bye.
Good night.
God
bless.
Walk good. Come back soon.
Amen. Bye.